So the intention for these talks that will happen at this time of the day is first like to speak just in case something which is said tickles you and, you know, resonates with you and gives you more courage to just keep on doing what you are doing. And also to really invite your voice in. So it's not like I'm here speaking because I know everything, but I'm here speaking. And hopefully, you know, your questions or your insights, your experience can also nourish this time together and also guides me and inspires me to speak, no? Because otherwise I don't know what to speak about. So also, just to say, if something is not understood, especially because of my wonderful English, then please just say, and I'll try to find another word or jump to the next sentence, like whatever I can do, or help me find some word in English. So feeling you here, I was, as many times I do, I was thinking about bees. So one thing that I love of bees, among many other things, is that, you know, they are born as everything, and then through their lives, they change their job, we can say, like they change what they do for the community of bees. Well, first of all, it's said that one bee alone doesn't exist, like cannot exist without the community. But this very interesting thing that through the, it's not like some people think that some bee is born as like someone who goes to bring pollen for the small ones, or someone who is born to pick nectar from the flowers to make honey, or to take care of the gate. But actually, through their life, they change the jobs, no? So, for example, first, the first days of their life, they would be like just taking like the pollen from when it arrives from other bees and giving, like collecting this pollen and putting this pollen like in the storage place, or directly giving to the larvae to grow up. And then those same bees, after a few days, become like the ones who receive the nectar and pass on through the mouth, like mouth to different bees, till they put it away. And then another, after a few days, they will change job into like taking the water out of the nectar so it becomes honey. And then another, like bringing, will be like bringing the nectar in, or producing wax to cover the honey. So many, many, many jobs, or the group that protects the queen, or the group that feeds the queen, like all this, no? Or the ones who kick out the men that are extra, or the ones that keep, this is, you know, how it is, the ones who keep the gate safe, so no, like, no other animals come in to destroy, or like the ones in summertime that they have to move their wings inside to keep the family cool. So there are so many jobs. So I feel that, and I think of that as a way of like how I think about our lives, no? Like what our lives are. That many times we, all we want is to, you know, go to university to know, you know, who we are, no? And get something like a degree or something that would describe us, no? And when we are doing that, there is no sense that there is something after that, you know? Like, now what is important is to become a psychologist. And there is no, while we do that, like, it's very difficult to see beyond being a psychologist, no? Or whatever you like to do, you know, I don't know. So this situation in life, like that we are in, which is called life, like actually it makes us go from one thing to the other. And it is the case many, many times that we don't know when we are in one thing, what is the next thing. So the same way happens in spirituality, that usually we tend to get very, very focused on what we are working on without seeing like beyond that. And the problem of not seeing beyond that is that then what happens is that we don't give space for any beyond. Like we are so sure that we came here to, you know, to be the ones specialized in bringing nectar into the hive, beehive. And we cannot imagine how it would be to bring pollen into the beehive. And this openness to know that whatever it is, that it is very important now, it will change into something else, like it will grow into something else. That, like, in meditation, it feels to me that it's somehow, like, crucial. So we can, like, with our whole heart, be bringing nectar in, and also at the same time something within us is open to some other possibility. So if we can imagine these two together, like passionate action, like being clearly like involved, and at the same time knowing that this is not forever, you know, and that we need to leave some openness to something which we don't know yet. And it feels a lot like this allowing ourselves to be co-creators or creators, you know, of our lives, you know. Like really in a position of openness and as much as possible motivated by this human inner quest that is inbuilt in us and that naturally wants to know and wants to grow, you know. And moving from there, like it is completely different than moving from lack, no? From missing something, we can say. So it is very different to move out of this human quest, move out of like fulfillness, being fulfilled and open to like wider fulfillment, we can say, or being only able to look at our problems and like trying to repair our problems. So to move from beauty or to move from emptiness or lack, no? from something which is missing place, no? Like it feels like two completely different movements and ways of approaching this process of awakening. And to allow this human quest, of course, we need to somehow put ourselves in a vulnerable situation or in an open situation, which always brings a little danger into our lives, no? Like, there is sense of being safe when we know where we are, even if it is our tragedy, no? Like, we are safe looking at our tragedy, safer, and our kind of suffering, than, like, just forgetting a little bit about our tragedy and open to other possibilities. No? This openness always, like, it has some danger inbuilt, you know, like the danger of becoming free, we can say, the danger of losing that which described myself all along, you know, that which I build my statue of myself. So if we are like, is that water can pass through? What is this?
Porous?
Sieve.
Are you looking for the word sieve?
Oh, I don't know. First time I hear this word. Yeah. Porous. Yeah. If we let things pass through, you know, like, then we are more vulnerable it feels like there is possibility of being shaken by things, and also possibility of something from within, greater than what we think, having insights, no? like seeing through beyond what we can imagine, or beyond what our mind was allowing to. And that always like really pushes some buttons, no? And if we are touched by beauty, if we are touched by this wonder of life, then, it is much more likely to put ourselves in trouble, no? And want things that don't make sense to want to the eyes of, say, our parents or whatever, our families or friends.
Gemma, I think also for me it's very exciting.
Very?
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very much very much a part of being alive. And because if everything was predictable, there wouldn't be that same aliveness and wonder. So it's very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, yeah. It is very nice, so then why we put so much energy in trying to protect us from that, no? Like, that's, you know, we know by experience that only by leaving room to the mystery, we can, like, grow. And yet, also we know by experience that many times we put our efforts into closing the conclusion, you know, like coming to conclusion, like, and then, okay, this area is like this, now next chapter, no? Okay, no, let's move into some other area, no? But this one is finished and round, no? And to let things be like not finished and not round, you know, like, take some courage, no? So to see in this, during these days, we will feel these two things pulling us, no? One is this wanting to get involved in our tragedy and somehow thinking that through the mind we can figure out which this band-aid we can put to our kind of pain. And we will also discover ourselves sometimes out of our own tragedy. And if we can go with that, then it feels like more possibilities will be there. And so out of our own tragedy doesn't mean that things are cured, you know. It doesn't mean that our trauma from like 30 years ago is not there, you know. But it means that this is not the only thing that is there. It means that we are putting our energy into some other possibility. And what happens is in this, in putting our energy in some other possibility, if we give our heart to that, like willing to forget about our tragedy, then like deepening into this, giving our heart to this other possibility, somehow this, at some point, that also, that wound also gets cured, we can say. That wound also gets like taken care of or healed somehow. But of course, this is asking like to trust something which is not controlled by our mind. And so I know that it's tricky, but if you see a possibility to choose that, then like please try to choose that these days and see what happens. Some of us came to meditation through the, like, to this journey through feeling and hearing the cry of the world. And in feeling these tears, somehow we got in touch with our tears. And that seems important. And it's also important to, when our own tears, like, become the only thing that exists, perhaps to remember how we came to listen our own tears. And to remember that there is much beyond our own tears and pain. So we have this miracle of being able to be in this place, these days, where if we want to hear, we can hear the whispers of every leaf and every tree. And we can tune into the beauty of every leaf and every tree. And that has power to pull us out of our own drama and heal our own drama by being out of our own drama. And also to see possibilities that we never thought before. So I really wish for this opening and for this courage to be taken somewhere else. And to trust that, you know, if you collect pollen, the larvae will grow up into bees. And if you collect nectar, honey will be there. Even though it really feels impossible, Yeah, would be more like raw, like suffering, yeah.
There
or
is,
the pain, direct pain.
Right, so pain and tears.
Yeah.
These last few days, I've been having tears in relation to beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not connected to the pain. Is it still tears in my own drama, or is it, am I kidding myself?
Yeah, like there is tears without pain and tears with pain. But there is the pain and then there is the drama, no? Like pain is even, you know, tears of pain can also be beautiful. Like the feeling, that the feeling of the pain. But then somehow from pain we allow drama, no? And pain is not like it is part of what we are. It's not like something we can just cut off, you know. We can live with the pain, but what I'm trying to point out is that we take this pain and we start looking this pain like with magnifying glass, we can say, and going around it, like making a ball, like making a drama out of this. And this is, the drama is something unnecessary, like a cloud made out of something real, no? Like something unreal made out of something real. So if we can feel the pain and at the same time, like have some eyes for the sky at the same time. And it seems completely like that makes no sense. Let's say like if I have pain, how would, like, in which way would be helpful to look at the sky? It doesn't have any direct relation, like, in our minds, no? So that's why it needs some courage, no? Yes, we can feel the pain, and if we can try that this is not the only song that is being sung, no? I am, like, I am where I am, and everything, all my mess is here, like, and yet still some eyes to look something else, you know. And this ability to not be totally entangled in the pain and identifying with that and then making the ball and then becoming the ball, you know, has this power, like this openness to see the sky, somehow has the power to heal that pain. But it's not in any map, we can say. Like it's not in any GPS or map. No? But this ability, no? Same in the meditation itself, no? Many, many times we walk out of the meditation, it's like, oh, I had the mind all the time, blah, 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 or whatever, no? We give this clear judgment of what the meditation was, like according to what was happening to our mind, for example. And if we can just kind of let within us, let exist two things at the same time, no? Like the mind could be like thinking whatever, no? No matter how stupid, wild, forbidden, whatever it is. And still at the same time, something else could be going on. And that is powerful, you know. The tendency would be like to go out, up into the mind and be like dropped there. If there is the mind, cannot be anything else. And proposition is, yes, let the mind be there, or whatever, and what else is going there? What else is going, you know, on at the same time? You know? Because, like, image I have in my mind is this kind of, this parallel kind of things happening. But as far as I know, this parallel never meet, no? This is what we studied, so it means like it is possible that they don't interfere much. You know? The feeling might be different if the mind is more peaceful, you know. We may like better the meditation if there is nothing else going on. But you know, from I make like it better into nothing is happening, it is a very big, you know, there is room for many, many things in between, you know. So to let this possibility be. Because this is like, it feels to me like one of the biggest obstacles when we come to meditation. That we try, somewhere, we still try to be done with something. And we try to fix something. And in our minds, it's like that fixing should come before than deepening, no? So, no. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know. The wall is falling and still I can live in. You know what I mean? This, so the deepening can happen and at the same time things not be fixed or solved, you know. Because then it really feels like we meet ourselves where we are. Otherwise, we are just dreaming of another Gemma, no? Another Anna, another whatever. You know? Which, it might be there someday or not, but it is not here now, you know. So, what is this, you know, what is this Gemma now? You know? Like, what is it, you know?
One of the things that I have learned is that in the process of allowing it to be both good and, well, instead of thinking of things as either good or bad, allowing whatever it is that may be positive and nurturing and healing to exist alongside whatever feels frightening or dark and scary. So one of the things I have learned is that it can be both, which is what you've been saying. The other thing that I have learned is that the more space and the more growth and light and healing that is experienced, the more capacity there is for going deeper into the pain. And so it's a paradox that it, even at a deeper level, it becomes more of both, more darkness and more space. But that with that, over time, practicing or evolving, then I've learned that it shifts back and forth between the two. And yes, they're both there at the same time, but that instead of being focused on the thing that is dark and frightening, it's easier to see the light and the hope and the love, and to move back and forth between that fear and love-based experience. And the thing I have learned that underscores all of that is it means going slow. When you go slow, really big things can happen. That's basically what I've been learning the last few years.
Yeah. And this going slow somehow requires loving the process itself. Because if you don't love the process, then you are in a rush. You really want to be done, no? Like
you are speeding with the brakes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
The speeding is getting you nowhere. But that may seem the truth that your body understands and your mind understands, that it might think that is what is important. It's a process to understand that it's not the way